This is Jay Sekulo. We have an update on the release of Pastor Andrew Brunson.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulo Live.
You hated in Turkey, but Christians here took up your cause. Did you feel that movement?
Well, this is one of the very surreal things we're not known people. We're not very important people. We've been working in Turkey in obscurity, one could say, for a number of years. But then around the world, I think millions of people in many countries were praying for us. And even though this caused us a lot of hurt, I think that God is using this, was planning to use this, to bring blessing to Turkey. Now there are millions of people who prayed for Turkey.
And you still love Turkey?
We do, yes.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
This is a tremendous step toward having the kind of relationship with Turkey, which can be a great relationship, that I know we're going to have.
We especially want to thank the administration. You really fought for us, unusually so, from the time you took office. I know that you've been engaged, and Secretary of State Pompeo also was very engaged and fought for us, and Vice President Pence, we're very grateful.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulo.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. I thought we'd take this Friday to recap. It's been a busy week, but I want to recap our conversation that we had with Pastor Andrew Brunson. It was the first long-form interview he gave upon his release from captivity in Turkey, initially in a jail, then in house arrest, came back to the United States this past weekend, was with the president on Sunday. We had him on the air on Tuesday, and we had the chance to really talk to him about what has taken place. And I thought it's really important for you to listen again to what he had to say. Now, we've seen, he's done a number of media interviews. You heard some of these in the open today. He's done a number of interviews since then, but I think the pastor, what he says he's going to do is he's going to go take a couple of months off. He's going to write and then wants to be deployed back on the mission field. That's what he said his calling has been his entire life, to preach the gospel, and that's what he's going to continue to do. But I thought it would be very appropriate for us to reflect on the fact that this release has happened. We'll hear from the pastor again, but understand the nature and scope of the work that went into this. We had both our legal efforts, and that meant that lawyers led by C.C. Heil, our senior counsel, was running that case for us. She was in contact with Turkish counsel during the entire process, multiple court hearings, 4 days of trial over about 5 month period. And you know that story. Then we also had the diplomatic effort of all this going on. We made multiple appearances at the United Nations, at the Human Rights Council, at the UN General Assembly. So we engaged on a whole host of levels. The UN's Commission on Arbitrary Detention took up Pastor Brunson's case. In fact, even though he's released, we're still responding to their inquiries because the Turks were glad they did this. I think it was positive, and I think it will help U.S.-Turkey relationships without question. But you can't ignore the fact that this was a terrible abuse that took place against a Christian pastor whose only crime was, quote, Christianization, which the Turks under their criminal system viewed as a crime. That's what it was. Remember, we translated the word, and it said Christianization. So I say all that to let you know, I thought it would be important as we end the week to recap where we were and where we've come from on this case, and to hear again from Pastor Brunson. Call your friends to listen in on this. I think it's really important to hear the words, especially now that some time has gone on. Because, look, this is what happens with these cases. They're out. They come out. There's an initial flurry of news coverage. And then it goes quiet as the pastor and his wife and family return to life back in the United States and are waiting for their next assignment and taking some time for refreshment and relaxation, which they need. But again, I want to thank you all, our members of the American Center for Law and Justice, for helping us make this case happen. Your support of the ACLJ allows us to do exactly what we did here. And I also want to thank our friends in the media, many of you that are listening to this broadcast for political information. Some of our media friends listen in every day as well. But I want to thank you for covering the case. In these cases, it's often so important to keep the individual that's held in captivity in the news, because job one is to keep them alive. Job two, or job 1A, is to get them home. But you got to keep them alive first. And I want to thank a lot of our friends in the media. If I started giving a list, I'd end up leaving people out. I don't want to do that. For helping cover this case. I talked to them about a lot of other issues during the week, but were able to talk about this one. I appreciate that, and the end result was very, very good. Let's come back after the break, and we're going to talk to Pastor Andrew Brunson.
And while the world is sleeping.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, and the phone lines are jamming up. Our guest, I am happy to say, our client, Pastor Andrew Brunson, who is now back home in the United States, was at the Oval Office with the President. CeCe Hobbs was there as well on Sunday, and took the day off. That was Saturday. Sunday and Monday kind of took a day to recover, and then did some media interviews this morning. We're thrilled that he's with us. Pastor, before I say anything to you, let me say what Pamela on Facebook says. So thankful for your freedom, Pastor Brunson. Andrew, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you very much.
I think on behalf of our entire audience, let you know, and you know this because we've talked about this, is you literally had the world praying for you. And the folks that are listening to us, the millions that are listening to this broadcast every day, we're praying for you without ceasing. But can you describe for folks, I think this is important for everybody to understand, you were in Turkey for a long time, 23 years, what you were doing in Turkey and what your activities were, and then we'll bring it current. But what were you there as a mission?
Can I first say something, that we are so grateful to the people who prayed for us, and we are so grateful for ACLJ. Did such a tremendous job fighting for us. And CeCe Heil was tireless in advocating for us. And you also, Jay. And for CeCe, I know she's a brilliant lawyer, but she was also personally involved, calling Noreen, encouraging her in so many ways. And you also, Jay. And we are so grateful that ACLJ took this on. And we want everyone to know what a tremendous help this was, and how grateful we are to you.
Well, look, we are thrilled that the result was as it was. We've got another case right now where we haven't had that result right now, and that is representing us, helping Asiya Bibi in our office in Pakistan. But your case ended successfully, but you were there in prison in Turkey in very difficult circumstances. But I think I'll take a call in a minute here. But Andrew, set for the folks what you were, how long you'd been there, and what you were doing in Turkey. What was your call to go there?
Well, we were there for 23 years before I was arrested, and our main goal was to go and preach Jesus Christ. One of the main things we were involved in was church planting. We were involved in several church plants, and then in the last couple of years, when there was a surge of Syrian refugees because of the ISIS attacks in Syria, a number of refugees came into Turkey, and we saw an opportunity not only to show the love of Jesus by helping them humanitarian aid, but also people who had never had access to the gospel. Most Kurds have never met a Christian in their lives. And in Syria, you couldn't preach the gospel. It was forbidden. So we got involved with Syrian refugees and were started a meeting among them, and we're doing evangelism with them.
So you were there as basically as a missionary. I mean, we could safely say that. No, we could not say that while you were there, obviously because of the situation you were in. But you were there sharing the gospel. That was what your job was.
We did it, and we did it very openly. We did everything in the open. Our churches were open to the public. The mission work to Syrians was all done out in the open.
Okay. Yeah, but before we take the calls, Pastor Brunson, a question. Over those 23 years, any serious issues with the government, a local, regional government, or the national government in Turkey at all?
Well, there are cycles. Sometimes they're more accommodating to churches and to Christians, and sometimes there's a bit of tightening up. There are often, rather than from the government, it's from other people who will sometimes, there will be threats, bomb threats, death threats. We were attacked once in our church with a man came with a shotgun. So that's always a possibility. It's not just us. Anybody who's involved in church planting in Turkey can have those kinds of dangers, but it's not from the government.
So this was in a sense, a new effort to arrest you and try you. And one of the charges was Christianization. So nothing like this ever experienced. These threats experienced, we understand that in that part of the world. But what happened to you was something that had not happened over 23 years.
No, it was an unprecedented thing, yes.
So there is one follow-up thing we're doing. You know, I said your case is closed, and that's a great thing because you're home, and we're going to get into what's next for you. But, Cece, we still have one legal issue we got to finish up with, and that was the UN Commission on Arbitrary Detention.
Right.
We talked about that.
Yeah.
They engaged on
this. Absolutely. The Working Group on Arbitrary Detention engaged, and we presented the whole case to them. They're still making their decision. And so then I have to now finalize with them what the decision was with the court, that he's back, update them with actually that decision and the conviction and what the release conditions were.
All right, here's what we're going to do. There's a lot of you calling. I mean, our phone lines are literally jammed. Facebook comments coming in. Eleanor says, God is so good, so happy that Pastor Brunson is free. Christine says, welcome home, Pastor Brunson. You're truly here due to answered prayer, so we give all the praise and thanksgiving to God. And I said that at the beginning of the broadcast, Andrew, I don't know if you caught it, and I said this, and I meant it. I mean, I'm very happy with the legal work that was done by our team that was led by Cece. I'm thrilled with the work that Than Bennett did in Washington on our government affairs shop, and Gregor Pupinik, who runs our office in Strasbourg, France, and just a great job. And the circumstances of that I was representing you and then ended up representing the president, I mean, nobody could have put that all together. At the end of the day, I believe that to take nothing away from anyone, that the Lord was in this, and that's how these things happen. And I'm glad that I'm glad for the tenacious advocacy by our legal team, by the president, by the secretary of state, but we do also have to give credit where credit is also due.
Yep.
That's just the way we feel as institutionally. But let me do this. Andrew, we've got a lot of people who want to talk to you. So you stay on that phone, and we're going to start taking calls.
Yes, Karen is calling in from New York online, too. Karen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Karen. You're on with Pastor Brunson.
Thank you for taking my call, and I just wanted to tell Pastor Brunson I prayed for him daily. I'm so thankful for prayers answered, that he's home, and I wanted to let him know what an inspiration he is, what a testimony as a Christian to other Christians throughout the world, and the light that he was in the darkness. And I just thank him for that. He really inspired me as a Christian to be bold and preach the gospel to others. That's what we're called to do. So I want to thank him and tell him how happy I am to have him back in the United States.
Well, you're talking right to him. Andrew, what do you say to Karen?
Well, we are very grateful for Karen's prayers and for a number of people who prayed for us. And we believe, obviously, God uses people. But I think that what was moving this and what brought our name up to this level with the president was prayers of God's people. But I also think that as we look at it, we think, well, we're not very significant or important for our name to rise and for so many people to pray for us. We think that there was much more that God was doing. And I look at it as almost like we're looking at a puzzle, but from the bottom side. And someday we will look from the top and we'll actually see the picture. Right now we don't see the full picture, but God was doing much more than just using prayers to release me from prison. I think there was, he was just pouring prayer from God's people into Turkey and into the Middle East, and that there's going to be a great harvest from this. We haven't seen all of the results yet, but I think it was much bigger than us.
I think you're right. And again, I think the confluence of events that took place here was pretty unprecedented. I say that, I mean, because when we were representing you, as I said, I didn't know I'd end up representing the President of the United States. And then you had the ability to use this platform that we're doing right now, where we're talking to millions of people and on Facebook and Periscope and all these social media platforms. And you're right. At the end of the day, that your goal was to proclaim the gospel, and you're doing that. You've done that, and I'm sure you will continue to do that. But we have a lot of people that want to talk to you, so we're going to keep going back to these phones, Jordan.
Yeah, let's go to Scott in Colorado on line one. Scott, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're talking to Pastor Brunson.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking. Thank you to Jay and your team for your focus on religious freedom, not just domestically, but also internationally. It's a great statement that this is making. I have two brief questions. First of all, Pastor Brunson, how were you treated in the prison? Because you seemed like kind of fairly healthy when you got released. I had no idea what to expect since you were there that long. And number two, are you going to write a book on your experiences? God, I'd be fascinated to see what this was like from the inside of a Turkish prison. And were you able to do ministry in that?
That was three questions, but those are good, Scott. Let's start with your health, because a lot of people we're getting that on Facebook and social media, too. People want to know how you're doing, Andrew.
Well, my health is good now. What happened is when I was arrested, I had a lot of fear. And as I look back now, I say it's 2 years. But when I started, I didn't know if it was going to be 2 years or the rest of my life. And there was a time when the charges against me demanded three life sentences, aggravated life sentences, which would have meant a life in prison and solitary confinement. So I didn't know that I was going to get out. So I had a lot of fear. For 18 months, I didn't even know what I was charged with. And during that time, during the first 8 months in prison, I lost about 50 pounds just from the stress. And as I look back at it, I see the first year as a time when I was very broken.
I'll tell you what we're doing, Andrew. We're coming up against a break here. I want to find out what the first year was, the time when you were broken. We'll talk about the second year when we come back from the break. We're taking a break. We'll be back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110. If you're on social media, share this with your friends. Put your comments in. We're monitoring those right now. We'll be back with Pastor Andrew Brunson in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
to the broadcast, everyone. We're joined by Pastor Andrew Brunson, and we're thrilled to have him. The first time we've had him on our radio broadcast, obviously, just out of Turkey, and we are glad that he's home in the United States. Having said that, I know, Pastor, your heart, though, is for the people of Turkey, and I'm sure that has not changed.
No, we still love Turkey. God put this on our heart years ago, and we are expecting that there will be a great harvest in Turkey.
Yeah. So you talked about the first year. You said you were broken. We covered it here extensively. You were in a jail with 22 people that was originally designed for 8. You had very harsh conditions. Talk about the second year.
Yeah, so the first year I feel like I was broken down and shattered again and again. And then the second year is when I feel that God began to rebuild me. And a lot of that happened just with small victories, declaring truth, declaring that God is with me. I think of Isaiah 50:10 became a verse for me where when we're walking in the dark, we hold on to our God. So I felt that I was walking in the dark, and it was a time when God began to rebuild me slowly. I wrote a song where I'm declaring his love for me and his faithfulness, and especially focusing on the idea of enduring till the end and being faithful in that.
Well, you certainly have been, and that's great. Cece, I know that I remember in this very studio when we were first talking about those conditions in the prison, how cold it was, the number of people. You're in a prison in anywhere is not great, but you can imagine in a country like Turkey, these are pretty awful conditions.
Yeah, it was very, terrible conditions. And, I was able to talk to Noreen. And doing the legal process, I could give hope through what these steps are. Of course, we didn't know what Turkey was going to do. But then as a Christian, trying to give hope too is, even when you don't see it, we have to know that God's in this and he's working in this. And, I know that was a hard process of when you're in a Turkish prison to see what's the good in this and where's the hope in that. So
Annette on Facebook says, your testimony is incredible. God bless you, Pastor Brunson. You want to go?
Yeah, I was going to ask Pastor Brunson a question about the people he was in prison with. I think he's talked about it on ABC News, but the idea that with some really rough people, considering that you were so high profile, I always wanted to underscore that to our U.S. audience, how high profile you were in Turkey. Like you said, when the economy went bad, when the two officials were sanctioned, they blamed Andrew Brunson in Turkey. They made you out to be this kind of super spy in the Turkish media. And then you get put into jail cells with people, predominantly Muslim, who have read pretty salacious things about you.
Well, what happened is that at the beginning, I wasn't high profile, and they treated me as they treated all of the other people accused of being part of the coup attempt and being part of the Gulenist movement, which is basically an Islamist movement. And so at the beginning, the difficulty, I never complained about the physical conditions I was in, whether it was crowded or cold or food or anything like that. It was more that I was imprisoned unjustly. And the truth is that a lot of the people I was in prison with were accused of being a part of the Gulenist movement, and there are police officers or military, or they were just very strong Muslims. And the most difficult thing for me during that time was a spiritual environment, because they were all very committed, very strong Muslims. So there were constant prayers going on, recitation of the Quran. It was like a Muslim house of prayer 24/7. And I was the only Christian, and I had no fellowship or anyone to pray with. So the spiritual environment was difficult. As I became higher profile, after President Trump asked for me at the summit that he had in May 2017, then within a couple of months, they moved me from that cell to a maximum higher security prison than I had been in, and put me in a smaller cell with just two other people. And the reason they did that was to provide more security so that people would not hurt me in any way, so nothing would happen.
All right, let's go right to the phones. People are holding on to talk to you, Pastor Brunson. Laura in North Carolina on Line 5. Laura, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hey, thank you. I just want to thank you. I really do. A little nervous here, but it's your humbleness. And just thank you for what you You know, we're so glad that you're back home. I mean, we've been praying for you. Every time I saw that come up, I would sign the thing online, the petition online.
Yep. Almost 700,000 people signed that.
Yeah, and it was incredible to see you knelt down and praying for or with our president.
Yeah, let me ask you about that. Let me ask you about that one, Andrew. That was quite a moment. I mean, I've been in that room on many occasions, but that was certainly a different one. What was your sense of that? I mean, I know you wanted to do it. You prayed about it, and obviously the president was receptive, but tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Noreen had had a dream about praying for President Trump, and specifically praying words of Isaiah about Holy Spirit, Isaiah 11. And in her dream, she felt like there was resistance to it, and she had to press through, that it was an important thing to do. So she determined that if there was an opportunity at any point, if she met the president, to pray these verses over him. And when we learned that we would be going to the White House, we prayed together and we asked God to give us the opportunity to pray for the president. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe also in impartation, that as we pray for people, God can pass something spiritual on, a spiritual blessing on. And so we asked God to give us that opportunity. When we asked the president if we could pray for him, he was very receptive. And it was a great privilege for us to do this.
Let's take one more call before the break here.
Julie in California, online 6. Julie, you're on the air with Pastor Brunson.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Jay and Jordan and Pastor Brunson. First of all, this is exactly why I'm a member of the ACLJ, because they care about one individual and they care about issues that affect the whole world. And Pastor Brunson, my question for you is, did you feel the prayers of people around the world praying for you in prison? And if so, how did it lift you up spiritually and support you?
Okay, so first I want to say something about ACLJ. You said they care about the individual. And so my wife told me how Cece would stay up sometimes through the night monitoring something for us, the hearings, and then the next day go through a whole day of work. And just the personal care there was really phenomenal. The question, I just forgot what the question
was. The question, no. The question was, did you feel the prayers of God's people?
Okay. You know, I was very encouraged knowing that people were praying for me. And one of the fears that I had, it's an irrational thing perhaps, but when one is isolated the way I was, is that I would be forgotten and that people would not pray for me. And I desperately wanted that prayer because I felt very weak. And so as I look back on my second year when God was rebuilding me, I didn't feel God's presence very much. But I know very well that it was the prayers of God's people that was, there was a grace coming to me that often was not felt.
Right.
It was like a hidden grace. And I wasn't aware of it at the time. But then I would look back and see, well, I came through these difficulties, and I know that I'm too weak to do it myself.
You know,
so
Andrew,
I know that it was grace.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. And by the way, we're taking a break. We'll come back with Pastor Andrew Brunson in a moment. But interesting statement. What you said, where you felt like you were alone and there were those times, we've had other cases, Jordan, where people have said exactly the same thing
exactly
Pastor Brunson
the same,
said.
That they feel, even though it's irrational, they kind of know it's irrational, in those situations, they are being completely forgotten.
All right, we'll be back with more with Andrew Brunson in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C.,
Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, this is certainly a joyous occasion for us. This is not something we get to do often. This case is, you know, it's interesting. We've handled a number of these over the years. And with the success, but sometimes it takes, I mean, this was actually, now for Andrew, this felt like a lifetime. But in our work, this is an important thing to point out. We've had them take 4 years. We've got one right now with a CABB going on 6 years.
Nine.
Okay, since the sentence came down, it's almost a decade. So in one sense, this was quick, although when you're the one in prison, it sure doesn't feel quick. But Andrew Brunson, of course, is now home in the United States, and a lot of people want to talk to him. Before we get more calls, and that's what we're going to do, we want you to be able to talk to Pastor Brunson for the next half hour of this broadcast, as we've done the first half hour. But Andrew, I want to ask you something here, because I know this is on people's minds, and that is, what's next? What are you thinking next? What are you praying through?
Well, we want to spend 2 or 3 months just seeking the Lord and what he has for us. But we also need to go through some healing process. The Lord has already done a lot of healing in our lives, especially over the second year, but we still need to work through some things, I think. I want to be seeking a refreshment in the Lord, in his presence. And our hearts have been in missions for years. I have a missions calling, and it's still in missions. So in some way, it will continue. So we're waiting for God to show us how and where. But that is where our heart is.
Andrew, let me introduce you to somebody, another person from our staff who's in our studios right now in Washington, D.C., who worked on your case tirelessly with members of the United States Congress, and that is Than Bennett. He's our Director of Governmental Affairs, so our audience knows him. You haven't had the chance to meet him yet. He's met your family over the course of the last couple of years in the representation. Than, what's your reaction, and what do you want to say to the pastor?
Well, Pastor Brunson, it's just an honor to be with you, and I just wanted to first of all say welcome home. I guess, Jay, just real briefly, I would tell this story to Pastor Brunson. Yesterday, I was on air with Jordan. We were talking about Pastor Brunson's case, and I was running late to a meeting when we got off air. When I walked into the meeting, which was dozens of senators and congressmen's offices were represented there, they actually stopped the meeting, and the House leadership was on the agenda to talk about their priorities. They stopped the meeting, and they said, actually, we want to yield our time to Than from the ACLJ, who just got here, because we want to hear about Pastor Brunson and how he's doing and how he has returned home. So, Pastor, I just wanted to kind of convey to you that is how in tune the United States government is on the legislative level to your case. It was inspiring to me that they wanted to hear from you so badly. I know a lot of them are looking forward to meeting you and welcoming you home. And I would just say an honor to hear from you, an honor to speak with you, and welcome home.
Well, thank you. And for us, it's very surreal because we are not very important people. And as I said, we've been working in a corner of Turkey for many years. And to see this level of interest, all we can say is it is God who did this. It isn't just a natural thing. And I believe God did this because of purposes far beyond us that he thinks he plans to accomplish. Yes.
All right, we'll take another call.
Yeah, Barbara in New Jersey on line 3. You are talking to Pastor Brunson.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi. Welcome back to the United States. I am so happy that you're safe. I've been praying for you. I've learned about your story a short time ago because I learned about this radio station that another woman had told me about from a church. And I've been listening, and I'm just wondering what God has in store for you. Your story is very encouraging to me personally because I'm going through a lot of struggles, and I have 3 daughters with mental illness. They're in their 20s. They've never worked. So your story is very encouraging. The church I attended, there's even people in India, women going through horrific stuff. But
well, we know about that, unfortunately, because we've got an office in Pakistan. And, Pastor, we're going to give me we only got about 20 seconds here, but talk about a word of encouragement just in 15 seconds, if you can.
Oh, wow.
Or you can wait till after the break. I'll tell you what. I want you to give a word of encouragement to people that are struggling. Look, I mean, your case ended successfully. Not all do, unfortunately. So we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. I'm going to put you on the spot there with 15 seconds to go. I'm used to it. You're not. I get it. We'll have you back on right after the break.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
I said before the break that, Pastor, a lot of people need encouragement. You were in a very difficult situation, but even with that difficult situation, you sound now encouraged.
Yes. One thing that I learned, I had read a number of biographies of people who experienced persecution, and I had a glorified, naive, perhaps, vision of persecution, that it would just all be a time of joy and intimacy with God, even though it was a difficult time. And I didn't find that to be my experience for much of the time. It was just hard. And there were things that I really struggled with and had questions about. And there are some things I don't have an answer for them. And I had to, I have an imaginary safe box. And I had to take some of the questions that I had that were not answered, some of the doubts that I had, and lock them away and say, I am locking these away. I'm the only one who can access this safe. The only other one who can access it is God. And when he wants to, he can open it and he can explain it to me or not. But
I think we lost you there, so we're going to get the pastor back in just a moment. Let me say a couple things here to point out the kind of historic standpoint of what we've got. This case has ended successfully, and in the life of a case like this, we touched on this briefly. This was actually pretty quick.
This was, especially because of the geopolitical technicalities and complexities of Turkey specifically. So it's a NATO ally. One that has moved more Islamist and a government that has moved more towards a dictatorship. So things have changed rapidly there on the ground in just in the last few years. So a lot has changed in Turkey since Pastor Brunson was there when he started 23 years ago. And so a lot of complexities. It took a Trump administration willing, yes, instead of making concessions after concession, to punish Turkey for the imprisonment of Pastor Brunson, yeah, which is a bold move. And that's what President Trump did by issuing those sanctions on, yep, the two Turkish cabinet officials, both their Minister of Justice
unapologetically
and their Interior Secretary. There were some tariff issued as well. By the way, as of now, I don't think those have been lifted yet because other people are in prison.
Right.
And there was always a threat that that would not be the end of the sanctions. So,
Turkish
lira, just on the news that Pastor Brunson may be released on Thursday when that came out.
The lira went up.
And
even 3 weeks ago, a month ago, I guess, I said something about that we were encouraged in the lira. They said, and I think one of the financial magazines, maybe in CNBC, I'm not sure, said Sekulo made the statement and the lira came up slightly, which was absurd in one sense, but it tells you how tied into the geopolitical. People don't understand. This was a NATO ally. It almost made it more complex.
Right.
And it did make it more complex.
What people need to also realize is that we've never had an administration engage like this. So
right.
was unprecedented. The 2 years, I think, being quick is because we had an administration, State Department,
yes.
Congress fully engaged.
And a president that was fully engaged.
Yes.
And Than the Senate, too, with the House.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, on a human plane, Jay, I was going to say the single biggest reason that this case ended in a positive manner and a quick reason is because the most powerful nation in the world spoke with one voice. And of course, that was under the leadership of President Trump. It authorized the vice president, the secretary of state, down the administrative, the executive branch to do so. But Jay, then you look at the impact in the United States Senate, very bipartisan, very bicameral. I mean,
yep.
Gene Shaheen from New Hampshire, who doesn't agree with the president on a lot of things, one of the most vocal advocates in the United States
Absolutely.
Senate for Pastor Brunson.
And staff was very helpful, too. All right, let's go ahead and take another call. Pastor's back.
Julie's calling in from Washington State online, too. Julie, welcome to Jay Sekulo Live. You're talking to Pastor Brunson.
All right, Julie, go ahead.
Well, praise the Lord, Pastor Andrew. And I've been praying through the Psalms since the beginning of the year, plugging your name in there. And it was just so gratifying and encouraging. And I'm wondering about the missionaries about to go in there that are in there, what you can say to about that, and what about the people that you were a witness to in prison? How can we continue to pray for them, those people that you maybe spoke into their life or you were just a witness to? Thank you so very much. God bless you.
Thanks for your call, Julie. So it's a good question, Pastor. One is advice for those that are there and also those that are left behind that you minister to.
Well, one reality for people who are going into missions, but not just for missions, I think increasingly here in the States, is that there is going to be a price to pay to stand for truth. And it's actually something very normal in the Bible, as you read through, that we can expect opposition and that there will be persecution. And so it's not just for missionaries, but for people in the States as well. As you stand for God in this society, there are going to be people who will persecute. What was the second part of the question, Jay?
That you want to know, for those that are still there doing missionary work, what advice would you have for them?
Okay.
I think here's what she's really trying to get to. There are people there in Turkey right now that we know are sharing the gospel. We know that you were arrested for sharing the gospel. You were charged with Christianization. When we got that indictment and read it, and it said Christianization as a form of terrorism, we all say that was absurd. But there were people you were ministering to that were impacted by your ministry in Turkey. Are there shepherds to take care of them there?
Okay, yes. And I remember part of the, yes. How do we also pray for people who you know, this right now there's increasing Islamization in the country, and we're seeing something very interesting that wasn't happening 2 years ago, is now there are many people coming into the church and saying, I am no longer wanting to be a Muslim. I'm now a deist. So I'm believing God, but I want to know, how do I find him? So I think there are increasing numbers of people, and this is something that God is going to use difficulties in the country. I think that in this time ahead, as things become more difficult for the church in Turkey and for people in general, that more and more people will turn away from Islam and will begin to turn, to look for Jesus.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead. More questions.
Ryan called in from Arizona online. For Ryan, welcome to the broadcast. You're talking to Pastor Brunson.
Hi, Ryan.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. And Pastor Brunson, that prayer was just so humble and simple, which made it so powerful when you did it with the president. My question, you brought the Holy Spirit up, and I was just wondering, you know, when Jesus left, he said, I leave you an advocate. You are not an orphan. And I'm sure that you felt like an orphan at times during that jail sentence. And I was just wondering, what were one of the bigger doubts that transformed from a weakness to a strength using the Spirit that was a revelation for you in that crisis?
Well, I, you know, at some point I'm going to write a book, and I'll go into this because they're actually complicated questions. But I questioned God's personal love for me, faithfulness, why he would leave me in a situation like this when I love him and have dedicated my life to serving him. And these are questions of the heart more than of the mind sometimes, just from the emotions. And I found that I had to declare the truth. And so I wrote a song in prison, and one of the lines is, "Jesus, the faithful one who loves me, always good and true." So that was a declaration of the things that I was doubting. And I determined, it doesn't matter what I feel or what my doubts are, I am going to speak the truth about God's character. And this was part of the some of the victories that I had, step by step, and restoring strength to me, was declaring truth, declaring God's character.
Let's go ahead and take John's call on line one. I think we can get this in before the break.
Hey, John, you're calling from Minnesota. You're on the air with Pastor Brunson.
Hey, John, quickly, please.
Yeah, Pastor Brunson, I just want to say that I think you've captured the hearts of America. Not very many people do President Trump say is America's pastor. So I want to just bless you and pray for you in the future for you. My wife and I want to ask you one question. What can you say to the persecuted church in China? We're coming up to the International Day of Prayer,
yep.
So that's my question to you. Bless your life, Pastor.
What would you be your word to the persecuted church, Pastor?
There's very little that I can say to the church in China. They're the ones who teach us. But what I do know is that God is going to use China to bless the world. And they are the next big mission sending. There's going to be a wave of Chinese going out into the Muslim world, and they are going to carry much of the weight of the missionary movement. Mm. So I expect great, wonderful things from China.
All right, we're coming up on the last segment with Pastor Brunson, so I encourage you to keep calling. Keep getting your comments in. Fran said, "I pray for your restoration and healing." Angelina says on Facebook, "I want you to know that you were never forgotten. God remembered you, and you were prayed for daily." And Pastor, I could tell you that there were people everywhere I went, people were asking me about you and your family and your kids, and specifically how you were doing, and would always want updates, which we did frequently on this broadcast. All right, we're taking a break. We're coming up to the last segment. What an opportunity to speak to Andrew Brunson. So thrilled that God opened the door for him to come home. And again, I want to thank our legal team. I thank the president, but also thank God, because without question, that's how these cases resolve. And this was a great result for Pastor Brunson and for his family, and we're very, very grateful for that. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. And a great effort also by our government affairs team. I don't want to forget them either, both here and around the globe. This was a global effort. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture. and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Broadcast. Last segment here. Dale on Facebook writes, thankful for your testimony and the faithfulness of Jesus. Our guest, I am thrilled to say, is Pastor Andrew Brunson. Let's go ahead and we're going to continue to take calls so you can speak to Pastor Brunson. We'll get to as many as we can. Who's next?
Terry is calling in from Tennessee on line six. Terry, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You're on with Pastor Brunson.
Hey, Terry.
Thank you. I have a statement and a question.
Okay.
First of all, I want to thank the ACLJ and our Heavenly Father. And I also want to say that it has increased my faith so much in God that He knows where we are at all times, even in the dark places.
Yep.
And we all rejoice with Pastor Brunson and his family. And the question is, since Christians are being more persecuted today, I've always wondered, if it came to me, would I have the courage to stand up for my faith?
Mm.
And I've prayed for persecuted Christians. But I still have that doubt sometimes. How could I react? And I wanted to know if there's anything that Pastor Brunson could recall that could help people today to get ready, you know, to get ready for that time. Is there anything we can do to strengthen, encourage ourselves?
Andrew?
Yes, I think that's a very important question. And I noticed one thing my wife and I were held together for 13 days. We were arrested at the same time. And I have seminary degrees. I have a PhD in New Testament, and I've taught for many years and preached. And yet I saw that my wife was stronger than I was during those 13 days. And it came from a deep devotion she has, and I should say a consistent time with the Lord every day for years. She set time aside, and she read the Bible, and she just spent time in God's presence and prayed. And I was more sporadic. I'd run fast, and then I'd slow down, but she was very consistent. And it's not that she had incredible revelations every day, but it was the, over time, the consistency and just feeding herself so that when the crisis came and we are in a cell together, there are people from ISIS in the cells around us, and we thought, what's going to happen? We had no idea. So we're 13 days cut off together in that holding center, and she was doing better than I was.
Mm. Okay.
And so I thought, this is a message that she carries and that I found that I want to practice as well, as emphasize just the consistent time spent with God is what strengthens us for the difficulties.
And
as for will you be able to handle it when it comes, well, you get the grace at that time,
yeah.
Not before. And sometimes it doesn't feel like enough, to be honest with you. Sometimes it doesn't feel like enough, and I'm working through that. But the fact is that it did. It was enough.
I just want to remind people, Pastor Brunson kind of said it in passing because of, I think, his experience in Turkey for so long, but because of the refugee flow out of Syria, and that he was in, even in that original holding the deportation facility, there with his wife, with prisoners from ISIS.
Yeah.
I mean, these were a difficult situation right from the beginning. And then, so just imagine
you got to remember that. Yeah.
The ISIS part of this, again, because Turkey was dealing with this overflow of people out of Syria, some who were ISIS fighters. So, again, I just didn't want people to miss that in Pastor Andrew's comments. We'll go right back to the phones. David in Washington State, online five. David, you're talking to Pastor Brunson.
Hi, David.
Hello, Pastor Brunson. My name is David Hobley. I'm a Jewish-American Air Force war veteran who was nearly murdered by a more radical Islamic Turk when I was stationed at Rhein-Main Air Base in Frankfurt, Germany.
Mm.
Especially considering my circumstances, I related with you and how radical Islam acts. I was terrified for you. And although I can only imagine the things you likely went through, I and many others that I know and follow me on social media, including those in the Jewish community, prayed for you every single day and followed you with ACLJ and elsewhere as much as possible.
You know, Pastor, I was thinking about that too. I mean, we know the numbers of the reach that we have. We know how many millions are listening each day and all that. But I think that the fact is what David just said, that you literally had the world praying for you. And I know you felt lonely at times, and we talked about that here on air, but the world praying for you, those prayers made a huge difference in your life and in your release, I believe.
They did. And I keep thinking again and again how it doesn't make any sense on a human level that so many people were praying for me. And I think that God was doing this, putting us on people's hearts, and it's because there's a much greater purpose behind this. And he is going to use these prayers to bring harvest, not only in Turkey, but in the countries around it. So this was very much a God thing. We don't feel worthy of all of this prayer. I feel very humbled by it, and not at all worthy of it, but incredibly grateful for it.
Let me go right to the phones. John Mark in North Carolina on line 3. John Mark, welcome. You're talking to Pastor Brunson.
Thank you for having me on. Andrew, tell me the sense of elation you felt and feeling of freedom you experienced when you were released. And also, was there a Bible verse, looking back in hindsight, that has come to mind about your release and experience?
That's a great question. I'm trying to get to some more questions here, but that's a great question. So you're at the trial the night of the release, the day of the release, and you finally find out when the judge says time served. What went through your head?
Well, I can tell you that 10 minutes before that, we did not know that that was going to happen. We didn't know if I had a bag packed to go back to prison, and we didn't know if they were going to give me 15 years or 20 or what. And we thought maybe this will just lead to another escalation, political escalation, and who knows when I'll come out or if I'll come out. So when I heard time served, it was almost unbelievable. And Noreen came up to me near the front of the court, and we just got down on the floor together. We knelt together, and we thanked God. And it felt...
What was the reaction inside the courtroom?
I think most people ran out to file their stories.
Yeah.
Because they kept, actually that day, they kept most of the believers out who had come to support us. They weren't allowed in the courtroom, so it was primarily media.
Yeah, I can imagine what it was like. I know the whole process. I remember that night because I was talking to Cece. I mean, all throughout the, literally when we say throughout the evening, I mean, it was the morning, 2 a.m, 3 a.m, 4 a.m. And that process of your release and then getting you to the airport, and, you know, as the lawyers, you're walking through every phase of that. But I also want to say this to the State Department and the staff at the embassies. What a great job. You know, we fought very hard for Rick Grenell to be the ambassador from the United States to Germany. And then I find out from Rick about an hour before he met you, Andrew, that Rick Grenell, the ambassador, was going to come and meet you at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning. And I thought that was quite a moment, too.
That was very touching. We got off the plane. We just left Turkey, obviously, very intense circumstances. And we got off the plane at the Air Force Base. And someone walks up to us and he says, I'm the ambassador, U.S. ambassador to Germany. And it's 1:30 in the morning, and I'm thinking, what are you doing out here? You know,
he was there to welcome you home.
This at all. And he handed me an American flag that had come from, he'd come from Berlin and from the Berlin embassy, and gave me an American flag, and I just kissed the flag.
The picture went, by the way, that picture went around the world. Andrew, thank you for being with us. We're praying for you. Glad to have you home. Thank you so much.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.